All right, y'all. Today's episode of Chicken Dinner brought to you by Manscaped. You hear the buzz. The best in men's below-the-waist grooming, the champions of the world. They have just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. That's right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code BAWK. B-A-W-K at manscaped.com. You have no idea how many people I know use the same razor for their face and for their junk. What is your problem? This thing takes 90 seconds to 2 minutes. Zip, zap, it's done. Wireless charging. Get your own trimmer right now because the ladies love it too. Manscaped, make the me time the best time and enhance your confidence. Get smooth where you need to be smooth. 20% off, free shipping. Use the code BAWK. It's smoother than Trae Young. B-A-W-K at manscaped.com. One more time. B-A-W-K, manscaped.com.
You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
One riverboat gambling trip.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Thursday, June 24th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and subscribe to the show so you get this clucker once it goes live. We will talk to Jason Mizrahi, founder of Win Daily Sports. How does Jay attack the daily fantasy board? There's a lot of strategy that goes into it, and we dive inside that strategy with one of the experts in the space. Usage versus minutes. What's more important, and what's it like to win a $300,000 tournament? Jay also has a story about a player that cost him big bucks. So all that coming up later on in the show. I will never not laugh at my favorite baseball team sending me multiple emails a month about their progressive jackpot. I think we all have accepted the fact that sports betting and sports gaming is here and here to stay. But the White Sox are blasting me all the time now. I'm not even living in Chicago anymore. Here's the email I got this morning from WhiteSox.com. The title, Queen of Hearts pushing over 176K. With an exclamation point. They put an exclamation point in the title of the email. If you like our 50-50 raffle, you'll love Queen of Hearts. Progressive jackpot, now over $176,000. Next drawing, Friday, June 25th, 3 p.m. Be there. What? You didn't get emails like this before PASPA went down. White Sox hitting you hard. Eventually, somebody's going to see that email for the fourth or fifth time and go, fuck it, I'm in. That's amazing that my favorite baseball team is emailing us about Queen of Hearts. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive if you've been betting on Trae Young, too. Trae Young. He's a chicken dinner legend. We did it again. The trifecta. Points over. Threes over. Leading scorer. 3-0. Plus 4.3. On Wednesday night against the Bucks. Stayed away from the Hawks. I was a little nervous about them covering, but that team is good. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They have tremendous shooting, and they defend the rim. Jason Collins, Clint Capella doing a great job walling off Giannis. But these props, people, they weren't even close. We talked about shorting Trae Young. Not really shorting Trae Young, just staying off of Trae Young in Game 7 because the market had overcorrected itself. When you have props 27.5, 28.5, and all of a sudden Game 7, 30.5, you're paying a Game 7 tax, number one, and you're paying a we've been destroyed by Trae Young for three straight games. We're going to jack it up. So what happened in Game 7? Trae was awful. Hawks still won, but not because of Trae Young. 5 of 23 from the floor, 2 of 11 from 3. He got to the line, made 9 out of 11. Finished with 21, but for the volume there, the game was a dud. So what that does to the better, it lessens your expectations for Trae. So going into game one, the market recorrected itself the other way. And we were getting prices like we got in games 3, 4, 5, and 6 of that Sixer series. So we hit it again. over 28.5, over 2.5 threes. The juice went from minus 170 back to minus 130, and leading scorer, plus 225. I dare another sports book to hang another 2-1 or higher on Trey to be the leading scorer. Sack up. Let's go. Give me 2-1 any other game in this series. We'll be all over that. Somebody asked me the question this morning. What do you think the prop is in game two? It's a good question. Look at the volume the guy got against Milwaukee. Milwaukee didn't even double him. They were letting him eat. 17 of 34 from the floor. He took 34 shots. That doesn't count 12 free throws. 4 of 13 from three. He could have scored 60. Finishes with 48. Everything hit. Now what? If I'm a bookmaker, you start the number at 31.5, and you're trying to write your first bets under. You don't want to write any more over, so you kick it up. All right, it was 28.5 in game one. We fucked up, made a bad number. Now we want to write under because we know the average Joe is going to bet over. Average Joe isn't tracking numbers from game to game. Average Joe's looking at the board an hour or two before game and going, oh, well, Trey had 48 last game. Wow, the prop's only 31.5. I like the over. You can't make it 34.5. He's not there yet because then you wouldn't write any money on the under. You can't kick it up 6 points in one game. But if I'm behind the counter, I'm starting at 31.5. Even at that number, I lean over. I wouldn't be surprised if it's 32.5, 33.5. Now I'm second-guessing myself. What would you put the number at? Ask yourself. Prop was 28.5 game one. Guy scores 48. Goes over by almost 20 points. We know you can't make it 40. I don't think you can make it 35.5, 34.5. So, yeah, I'd say 31.5 is a good place to start, and what they probably do is juice the hell out of the over. To go over 31.5 minus 130 or something like that. The three juice is going to be high, but in the last three games, folks, he's taken 10, 11, and 13. If they keep putting 2.5 there at minus 140, minus 150, yeah, you might lose here and there, but he's getting the volume. And the leading score, I don't think we see another 2-1 the rest of the playoffs. Even if they go to Phoenix, if they win this series, go to Phoenix, game one, game two, Devin Booker's minus 140. Trey can't be 2-1. He can't be. The guy just scored 50 almost in the conference finals. So this will be something we'll pay attention to. It's not a blind bet. Right team, right price. Right player, right price. And we'll see if the market corrects itself accordingly with Trae Young. We see a 34.5, 35.5. Forget it. 31.5. We'll see. But Trae Young is a legend, and he has been a boon for the basketball betting on Chicken Dinner. 57 and 41, up 16.6 units. Been a hell of a ride, and Trae Young has helped a lot of that. I also saw ESPN Stats and Info said that Trae created 72 points last night. That's the most ever by one player in a conference finals game. Crazy. Got a phone call yesterday, somebody close to the Vegas Golden Knights, and I trust the source. If I share the source with y'all, it's something reputable. I heard that they have two players, two prominent forwards, for that matter, that are playing through serious injuries. My best guess is one of them is Mark Stone, who has lost a step, maybe two. He's not going into the dirty areas. He's not really going to the net. He looks a little slow. He dominated that Colorado series. He's been atrocious in this Montreal series. So we think Mark Stone is one of them. He's their captain, one of their most important players. The other one I'm guessing is Max Pacioretty. Those are two of their biggest hitters on offense. Did you realize that the Vegas Golden Knight forwards only have three goals in this series? How do you feel confident about them winning game six? Remove the bias we have from betting Montreal 4-1 to win the series. In the kitty, we have that. how can you lay Vegas minus 140 or minus 145 knowing the stats and hearing that two of their best forwards are hurt? I had to pick Montreal. Had to. And you look at the market, and even though most of the tickets are on the Knights, market opened minus 140. Some of these offshore books, Heritage, minus 129. Bet Online, 34. Pinnacle, 35. Westgate in Vegas, 35. More money is moving towards the Montreal side. This is a goalie game. Can Carey Price be the best player? I think yes. And you have to believe there's urgency with Montreal. They want no part of going back to Las Vegas for Game 7. But it's not like Montreal is a team that beats itself. They minimize mistakes. They're responsible. They have big physical defensemen. And they have a tremendous all-world goalie. Play your game. Roll four lines. Keep pucks away from your net. And the rest will take care of itself. You should be able to beat a hobbled, fatigued Vegas squad. They can't find offense. And watch Mark Stone tonight. And watch Pacioretty tonight. I don't think those guys are right. So we double-dipped. Some of you, I know, have taken pieces of Vegas. Some of you, after Game 3, took Vegas minus 130, minus 140. Good for you. You can't lose. I don't want to hedge, though. I'm not taking the Golden Knights plus 50, plus 160 to win the series. I don't know. I'm good. Roll the 4-1, and I like the money line tonight. I think Montreal puts them out. And I hope I never see a tweet from that loser Yankees fan one. Talk about a corpse. What is this guy even talking about? You guys have seen the tweets. It's been more of a at SP shoot issue than at Chicken X Dinner. Some guy uninvited jumps into the mentions. Oh, big Habs guy, huh? Well, Vegas is going to win three in a row. Like all cocky, shoulders raised, douchebag. Yankee hat, sunglasses on, and his avatar. Get out of here. I love when people come in all hard and they get shut up right away. After saying that Vegas was going to win three in a row and bounce Montreal, Vegas lost the very next hockey game. I love shit like that. So then he blocks me because I put him in the box, and then Vegas wins game four in overtime, and he's like, I told you. What did you tell me? What are you? Why are you all excited? You literally said that a hockey team was going to win three straight. I then called you out and said, let's make a bet, side bet, whatever, and nothing, crickets. Your prediction was wrong. They lost the very next game. They win game four. He unblocks me, starts chirping at me, starts chirping at Nesson. This guy doesn't know shit, blah, blah, blah. And then after game five, he blocks me again because he's a coward. Just like, get a life, dude. And now he's saying, well, still, you don't know how series work. Don't move the goalposts. You've already moved them twice. You want to move them again and lose again? Well, you don't know how series works. Best of seven. What are you fucking talking about? You made a prediction. You came in hard. They lost the first game possible. It's over, period. End of story. So I had to block the guy because he just was going off on a tangent. I don't think he knows what's going on. But that is what it is. You just, some of these people, they can't help themselves. They are legal in Louisiana. Ben Fox from VSiN with the tweet. Sports betting now officially legal in Louisiana. Governor John Bel Edwards signed the bill into law. The hope is to be up and running by football season. Now 30 states across the country, plus D.C., have legalized sports betting. 21 operational markets. Up and to the right. Up and to the right. And how about this? They are legal in Canada. David Payne Purdom quoted a tweet from Canadian Senator David Wells. The update in all caps, you've been waiting for. Bill C-218 has officially passed in the Senate and will become law in the coming days. I am honored to have worked to make single event sports betting legal in Canada. Some of you may not remember the chicken dinner guest spot we did with Joe Osborne from Odd Shark. You know that you can't roll into a Canadian outfit and bet straight. You can't take the favorite and lay 6 points. You can't go under the total 51 in football. You have to parlay in Canada, or at least you've had to parlay. You've been able to bet there, but not single game. I think Osborne said you had to do three teams. So if you wanted to make a sports wager in Canada, you couldn't bet the side or the money line or the total. You had to pick three sides and wheel them together. That's great hold for the house. That's a racket. Imagine if you couldn't bet on Montreal tonight, plus 125. You got to parlay Montreal with the Suns and the Cubs to get down. I'd love to book that. Ain't nobody winning in Canada with that. But here we go. It happened in the United States in May of 2018. PASPA goes down. I remember I'm at VSiN. I was hosting at that point in time, I was hosting 12 to 3 Pacific, so 3 to 6 Eastern. I got a phone call that morning from Rick Jaffe at 7 in the morning. I'm hungover, half awake. Hello? Sammy P, sports betting's legal. Get to the studio. Jumped up, shower, brush teeth, put clothes on, hope the socks match, get into work. Since that time, from May 18 to June 2021, we have seen the growth. From Nevada only to, as we just discussed, 31 live markets in the United States. And I saw this number from the American Gaming Association. Since PASPA was struck down, $58 billion, billion with a B, have been wagered in this country. It's a lot of bread. And now Massachusetts is still trying to figure it out. Being squeezed to the north by New Hampshire, squeezed to the south by Rhode Island, Connecticut to the southwest. That place is going to be up and running by September, and Massachusetts still trying to figure it out. I don't know what they're waiting for. You see some of these states take in, you know, $8, $9 million a year in tax revenue. It goes right into the states. It helps build schools. It helps fix roads. It creates jobs. It helps the economy. What are you waiting for? Well, my district wants this, or my district wants it. Figure it out. Get it through. Work together. You would be amazed at how many people at work are like, oh, yeah, I drove across the border to New Hampshire. Yep, after work, I'm going to stop in Rhode Island, get my bets in for tomorrow. People are leaving the state to give other states money. It's the reality. And the last thing before we get to Jason Mizrahi, I am working on a story for next Friday at Fox. Very excited. This might be my Mona Lisa. I appreciate when y'all read my stuff on NESN and on Fox Sports. This one is big. In respect to the holiday, July 4th, USA, red, white, blue, I am doing a story for Fox where I talk to about 12 bookmakers and ask them, how would you have priced Rocky and Drago? Oh, yeah, we're going there. What's the line? Some of them said Drago minus 60, Drago minus 80, no shot. There is no way that that line is anywhere near minus 150, minus 200. You got to open that minimum minus 500. Even as I say that out loud, that's too low. It's got to be minus 1,000. Drago is bigger. He's stronger. He's younger. He's on the juice. And he fucking killed Apollo Creed. We forget all that. Drago might even be minus 2,000 on the open. And the fight's in Russia. There's no way that Drago is anything short of minus 5, minus 10 to 1. But the responses are great. I've got some already. Robert Walker, Alan Berg, Andrew Menino, Jeff Davis, Chris Andrews, Rob Pizzola, Dwayne Colucci, Kenny White, Rex Byers, John Murray. Got some more on the way. That'll be next Friday going into 4th of July weekend. It's fun. It's hypothetical. I'll give you exactly one of the quotes. Drago is a massive favorite, say minus 1,000. Rocky is at the twilight of his career, and Drago's much younger. Huge home advantage in Mother Russia. And Drago literally murdered the man who went the distance with Rocky twice. It would have been like Mike Tyson in his prime against a gas can. Now that's the Drago side. The Rocky side, Drago minus 180. It's Rocky, brother. Actually, I'm going to read Kenny White's too. And I give a lot of credit to these bookmakers because a lot of them don't love theoreticals, hypotheticals, and I get it. This is more fun, though, than asking somebody, hey, what's Alabama against the Jets? That's stupid. That's really stupid. Rocky Drago, though, a little more fun. Kenny White, longtime, legendary Vegas odds maker. He responded right away. He goes, ooh, I love this. Drago minus 800, Rocky plus 550. Drago is bigger, faster, and stronger. Plus, he has 35 years of revenge on the mind. After the first limit bet on Drago, Kenny says, I'll move it to minus $11 and plus 750 on Rocky. Don't miss this story. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to post this on Fox next Friday. Rocky, Drago, what's the price? Joining us on Chicken Dinner, he is the founder of Win Daily Sports. I've been talking about this guy for a couple weeks now. Said we had to get him on the show because I am enamored by the way his mind works when it comes to the daily fantasy world and researching and targeting and firing on guys. He did a great job in basketball using one of my columns for Nesson. He's the host of the Win Daily Show on SiriusXM Fantasy, and he's on Twitter at Jason Mizrahi, at Jason M-E-Z-R-A-H-I. Jay, what's up, man? Welcome to the show.
What's up, Sam? Thanks for finally having me, and I appreciate you reaching out and doing the show together.
I owe you an apology, though, I hear, because you jumped on the Trae Young train a little too late. I feel bad.
Yeah, I'm not even a Trae guy either, man, because he disrespected everybody in the Garden. But I saw your tweet, and I take your – you're one of the guys that if you text me or I see you tweet something, I'm like, all right, Sam's a sharp dude. I'm gonna hop on the bandwagon. So I saw the tweet, everybody smashing the over, making a bunch of money, and I guess I mushed it, man, because I saw the tweet, and I'm like, all right, let me throw a couple bucks on it. And I'm watching the game, and Trey's having the worst game ever. And then on top of that, the Sixers still blow it, and the whole Simmons saga – and Doc Rivers, just hot take. I think Simmons is catching way too much heat compared to Doc Rivers. I think Rivers is the guy that should be the fall guy here and not your all-star who, you know, he gave up a shot, but he didn't turn the ball over. He played defense, didn't give him what he needed to give him, but I think Doc is the reason why they lose those games more than Simmons.
Definitely. He's been one of the worst coaches in the clutch for about a decade. He's been awful. And I thought the reason that Trey was so good as a top scoring option through games, you know, 3 through 6, I guess 7, is because Doc didn't help on him. They didn't double him. They didn't chase him off the line. Even going into that game 7, if I would have told you that Trey would take 23 shots, 11 threes, and 11 free throws, you like your chances for him to get buckets, right? It's all about the volume.
100%. 100%.
So talk to me about the way that you attack a daily fantasy basketball lineup, because you and I did a story, like I said, for Nesson about what goes into the daily grind. And you say that your day starts early in the morning. You really, you know, before COVID, you were talking about a situation where you're locked into the computer from about 4 until 6 Eastern, getting that last minute information. But just generally speaking, what is a day like in the regular season when you're trying to put your lineups together for daily basketball fantasy?
With any sport that's day-to-day, baseball, basketball, those are the two ones that I really focus on. I don't really play too much hockey. But baseball and basketball day-to-day, it just never ends. Like you wake up thinking about it. You go to sleep thinking about it. You watch games at night. You check out the stats during the day, the matchups. You know, so it's an ongoing process where I felt like even if I'm on vacation, I'm still following everything. I'm still playing. I'm in the game every single day. Just like professionals going to the gym every day and work on their craft, I'm working on my craft every single day since this all started 8-9 years ago at this point. When it comes to basketball specific, you know, you look at the matchups, you know, what teams can't guard the center, what teams, you know, run at a high pace, what players have the highest usage in their offense. And you start there and you start looking at the individual matchups, and then you have to take into account the injuries, the players who are potentially going to be on a minute restriction, what players now going to step into a role where they weren't in before and the salaries didn't adjust to the news, because salaries get adjusted the night before, news comes out 10 minutes before a basketball game. You got to be prepared to make these changes and swaps and trust your gut, trust your research, and constantly refine your process. Like when I started 8-9 years ago to where I'm at now, the process changes every day, every season. Not so much that you're like you're starting from ground zero, but you're constantly modifying your approach. You're seeing what, you know, other people are doing in the industry, and you're refining and refining to the point where you don't really change your process day to day, but you refine it and get to a point where you're comfortable. My biggest thing is trusting your gut, because sometimes too much time leads to too much tinkering. And sometimes your best, you know, your best lineup is the first one you make. So it's really trusting your gut. And I'm not a mass entering, you know, 150 lineup type of guy. I'm more of a 1-2, 3-4 optimal lineup builder. So I really have to trust my gut, trust my research, trust my process. And then look to Vegas. Vegas, you know, they do their research and take that into account as well.
You were telling me about how you'll take a team. I think we were discussing Washington. Obviously, Brooklyn was in there, you know, when everybody got together. There's a difference between an NBA game lined at 218 on the total and a game lined at 240. They're telling you there's going to be more offense there. Is Vegas the last thing you check or the first thing you check?
First thing I check, whether it's basketball, baseball, I check it for a couple different reasons. Obviously, you know, they do a ton of research, not to say that they're always right, but by doing so, you can see where the popular plays will come from. You'll see where you see something the same way Vegas does. So it validates, like if Washington played Brooklyn, those are two high paced, you know, teams with some stars. Now let's say, you know, Bradley Beal is out. You know, Russell Westbrook is pretty much a lock button because he's going to be the entire offense. Or if KD's playing by himself without Kyrie and Harden, you know, these adjustments that have to be made, and the usage is such a big factor in basketball, because you want somebody, you don't want a PG Tucker. You don't want a guy who plays defense, sits in the corner and maybe gets a couple shots and really doesn't touch the ball on offense. And you have to hope for him to hit all his corner threes and get a couple blocks and steals. You want high usage guys like the Trae Young types, like the Russell Westbrook types, where you know the entire offense is running through these players. Or, you know, you want a guy who pads the stat sheet that can go out there and get you a double-double, get you a triple-double, have that upside. And at the same time, you want guys that aren't so popular. So when they do go out there and have a great night, you're climbing the leaderboards because you have a guy that's 10% owned versus the popular plays that are 30, 40% owned.
I can't imagine how invaluable LeBron James was in the playoffs. And I didn't play any games, mind you. I played no daily fantasy during the playoffs. But from a gambling standpoint and a sports betting standpoint, I don't know how many times I heard, well, LeBron's going to flip the switch and he's going to go for 40 tonight, or he's going to go for 50. He's not the same guy that he was 3-4 years ago, but I imagine his daily fantasy value was through the roof. You're not getting that fucking guy cheap. Was he a bust in the playoffs as far as daily fantasy? Did he get enough stats?
No, he was a bust for the most part. He didn't have that ceiling game throughout any of the playoffs. And I'm not a LeBron guy either, you know. I was so happy to see Durant hit that shot to force OT, because that's Durant. Like, he can do that. LeBron, I'm not a LeBron guy, so I hope you're not as well. But, you know, I kind of enjoyed it, man. I wish Anthony Davis was there so they can lose, you know, quote unquote, fairly, and he'd have no excuse to be ousted in the first round. But yeah, he didn't hit value. He wasn't a good play through that entire series. And throughout the, you know, the regular season, he didn't really have those, you know, those upside games, whether he was tired, whether he was injured, whether he wasn't so motivated. He's not the same guy that he was, you know, last year, the year before. And yeah, he didn't have those ceiling games. He wasn't the guy to roster. The guys that you wanted to roster was you know, Jokic, who was going out there dropping triple doubles, high usage, and Mitchell, when he came back, no one really knew what to expect when he came back, and he came back and dropped the big game. So those are the guys that are really doing their thing. Right now it's Paul George and Devin Booker. Booker had a down game last night, but in the first game he drops 40, triple-double. If you didn't have him, you lost.
What's more important, usage or minutes?
You can't have one without the other. So I say minutes first. You know, if you get a role player at minimum salary who's filling in for, say, a LeBron James, and now he's, say, let's use Kyle Kuzma for an example, another guy I'm not a big fan of, but first one that came to mind because we're talking about LeBron. But say Anthony Davis and LeBron James is out, Kuzma is close to minimum priced. He comes off the bench and now is in a starting role with the two, you know, playmakers out of the offense. He's going to be – his minutes are going to be bumped by 10, 15, possibly 20 minutes in that game, and his usage is going to go up. But minutes come first. Like, usage you can work around with being on the court and being active. You can still be a guy that was a 10-minute guy but now going to be a 25-minute guy and go out there and get 10 points, 10 rebounds. Your usage might not be that high, but you're grabbing boards, you're active, and you can still smash your value just by getting those minutes. So I think minutes is the first starting point. Without minutes, you're nothing, because there could be high usage players who come off the bench, but you're not really guaranteed for minutes. You're not guaranteed those fantasy points.
I'm just picturing you right now. You already have everything pretty much all planned out going into about 5 o'clock on the East Coast. Superstar A goes out and there's that trickle down effect, right? And you get the proper late scratch. You can get a guy that's maybe going to get 10, 15 minutes. All of a sudden, if you know the depth chart, Jay, you can take a guy on that roster off the bench. He's a 30-minute player, and nobody else is even paying attention.
In the NBA, that's why it's my favorite sport to play. That's where you have the most leverage, the most advantage. Whoever's in tune with the news and can decipher that news late, because it's not always the obvious choice. It's not always, okay, this guy is replacing this guy in the starting lineup, and that's the guy you now need to have. Sometimes it's not the replacement guy. It's the guy that was already in the starting lineup. It might be the guy who's still on the bench, but he goes from I'm never playing role to now I'm playing with the second unit, and I'm going from 0 to 20 minutes. So there's decisions to be made. And then also, you know, you take a big star out and you force in somebody who's replacing that star, but because that star is not in, that guy's being doubled, or it becomes a blowout and they don't get fourth quarter run. So there's other factors to come in, but yeah, you have to follow the news in the NBA. Now in the MLB, like today, Ronald Acuna gets scratched. Even if his replacement is batting leadoff, doesn't mean he can hit a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. He can still go 0 for 4, so he's not a must play. But in NBA, if you got a minimum salary guy filling up, you know, the stat sheet for 20 to 30 minutes and he was $3,000 or $3,500 on DraftKings and you don't have him in your lineup, you will lose that night and you won't have much of any chance to cash that night without following the news in the NBA. And that's why it's so important. And that's why this year was such a struggle, even for myself, because it wasn't just lock in from, you know, the hour before lock, but with late swap, after the 7 o'clock games go off, you had to wait to the 8 o'clock news, the 9 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news. So you had to invest 6-7 hours of your day, your night, to have an edge. And sometimes, I'll be honest, I didn't have that time. So I didn't invest, or I put some money in just because I love action. And it wasn't as profitable as it was in years past, because the amount of injuries and COVID, and Paul George gets a migraine after lock, Tyler Hero gets, you know, whatever happened to him with his ankle. There was so much bad news that came out late that it was really tough to play this year.
It's even more roulette than usual. We do a lot of the same things, you and I. We're looking for plus expected value. We want good return on investment. We're looking to buy low or sell high. But I think the biggest difference, obviously, in our two rackets, if I bet 100 or 110 for that matter, I'm going to win 100. You can bet 100 and win like $38,000. I'm looking at your two wins, King of the Diamond Championship at FanDuel. You win $155,000 in the DraftKings Fantasy Basketball World Championship. My man earned $300,000. Whoo! Man, what are you like during those?
The first one was my biggest win ever, and that was chaos. That was, oh my God. My wife didn't know what the hell was going on. She was sleeping. I sweated out 5 hours of baseball. And this was like, at the time, it was the highest prize total ever in MLB or anything that anybody ever received. It got broken, you know, a couple months later when NFL came back around after that first year of launch from FanDuel and DraftKings. But I just learned about it. It took me, I started at the end of the first football season, rolled into basketball, then had the courage enough to continue with baseball. Learning curves were chaotic. You're trying to figure things out. And to be in a position to win and sweat that out. And I had an apartment. I didn't have my house yet. And it was just after getting married and all these things were happening. It was a life-changing event. It's something that I'll always remember. And waking my wife up in the middle of the night and going to her and I said, guess what happened? And you know, you wake up a significant other at like 1:30 in the morning.
Better be good.
Yeah, it's better be good. And she's not expecting you're winning. She's expecting something bad happen, because who wakes you up at 1:30 in the morning with good news typically? So when I tell her, it was just, you know, tears of joy and shock. And it was validation for me, because prior to that, it was like, why the hell are you on your phone? Why? Like, what are you doing this all for? How much research are you doing? We're at dinner. You're on your phone. You're home. You're on your computer. What are you doing? So she didn't really, I didn't really tell her everything, to be honest with you. I didn't tell her, you know, the money I was investing into it or risking, whatever you want to put out there. And it was nowhere near where I'm at now, but it was like, I'm playing this thing called FanDuel and DraftKings and, you know, I'm learning. And to win $1,000 back then was like a big thing. To win $155,000 was just utter chaos, man.
That wake up could have been a lot worse. Psst, honey, where's the jewelry? I got to make a run. You know, if it goes the other way. And then you come back and you double it up in that $300,000 Fantasy Basketball World Championship. We've talked about your wins. I feel like you're the type of guy, though, you wouldn't forget the worst loss. There has to be a situation in the past where you should have won and you didn't win. Do you remember one?
I remember one very clearly. It's something I can laugh about now, because if I was still carrying it without the $300,000 win, I wouldn't be able to share it with the same laughter. Mm-hmm. You know, I can laugh about it because I overcome it with, you know, other victories. But DraftKings and FanDuel, they have these live championships. And that was the goal, was to make it to a live championship and meet these other champions. And, you know, sounds crazy, but to meet other people, you never did it because you're competing with them online. So to go to one of these events where they have you at the nicest hotel and there's parties and all this stuff, I heard about it. I've seen the videos on Twitter. I always wanted to do it. So prior to winning the championship in Miami a couple of years prior, I remember like it was yesterday. I had a softball tournament the next day. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to enter a couple of tournaments. I'm going to go to sleep early. I got a big day of softball, as crazy as that sounds. And I enter a baseball tournament. And from like the time opening pitch, first pitch at 7 o'clock to throughout the entire night, I'm in first place for a qualifier to go to the Atlantis Bahamas to fight for first place, which was $2 million that year. Only, I think, 100 people would qualify, or 80 people would qualify. So I'd have like a 1 in 80 chance to win $2 million. It was like, I have this thing. I'm winning. I'm winning. I'm winning. All the games are over. I'm sweating for 4 hours. I was superstitious. Where I started that night is where I ended. I was basically laying in bed, stone cold, not even watching the game, just highlighting. I'm like, I'm not changing anything. I'm winning. I'm going to stay in this position the whole entire time. My wife fell asleep next to me. I didn't change the channel. I don't remember what was on, but I'm just checking my phone. I keep on scoring more points. And now it's down to the last game. No other games are out there. I'm winning by 7 points. I look down. There's one guy behind me who has Buster Posey. And it's the bottom of the eighth inning. The Giants are up by 4 runs, and Posey's up 3rd. I'm like, okay.
No.
I'm up 7. If this guy doesn't hit a triple or a home run, I'm good. I win. They end the game. Next inning, game over. We're going to Bahamas. I'm waking up my wife. It's going to be amazing. Buster Posey gets up, and he singles. I'm like, that's amazing. He's a single on DraftKings worth 3 points. No big deal. Worst thing can happen right now is he scores a run, 2 points. Now he has 5. I still win by 2. They finish the inning, next inning. God forbid extra innings come. Yeah, there'll be a bigger sweat, but they're up 4. What's the worst that could happen? Next guy gets up. It's 2 outs. Brandon Belt is up. It's a 1-2 count. And I'm watching just on ESPN, like on my ESPN app, and I'm refreshing it, just waiting for that inning to end. And then I'm like, I see Buster Posey at second base on a 1-2 count. They're up 4, bottom of the 8th. I'm like, oh, it must have been a pass ball. I'm like, let me just check DraftKings. I go to DraftKings, and I'm in second fucking place. I'm like, there is no way Buster Posey, after the horrific knee injury, stole second base in the bottom of the 8th, up 4 runs. Like, this is catcher's indifference. This is a pass ball. This is something ridiculous. There's no fucking way that this happened. And I keep checking my phone. I'm not watching. Like, I didn't see what happened. I'm like, there's no way. This can't happen. And I keep refreshing. It says stolen base on ESPN. It says stolen base on DraftKings. The stolen base is worth 5 points. Pushes this guy ahead by 1 point. And in these qualifiers, it's not like, okay, you finish in second, you get $30,000. You finish in second, you like get your money back for the qualifier and a couple $100. So the swing was $50,000 to like $700. And the shot of a $2 million ripped away from me. That was the toughest beat of my life. I fucking lost my mind. I was walking around my house, pacing in darkness. I threw my phone across the room, and I'm the most calm person. Like, I can brush off like $1,000 losses, $5,000 loss in the stock market, like nothing. But to lose and I never made it to a live qualifier at that point. So lose that after winning the entire day on a Buster Posey stolen base. Like, I've ever saw a Buster Posey in the street, I don't know what I would do to him, because the anger is still within me. Like, I didn't sleep for like 3 hours. My wife was like fearful, like I might do something crazy. And I was like, but dealing with that and having that defeat, now, Sam, I'm telling you right now, I can brush off any kind of financial loss. Yeah. Like, nothing. It wasn't as bad as that. That was like terrible. But lucky enough, you know, I got to qualify for the DraftKings tournament, and I took down second for 300. If I didn't, I wouldn't be able to tell the story and laugh about it. I'll tell you that much.
My favorite detail about that story is you saying, just slipping it in there, post-knee surgery. Because there's no need for him to steal.
It gets worse, Sam. It was also the year when dude kept on having those commercials where, like, he's delivering babies with the catcher's glove. I don't even know if you remember that commercial, but I had to see this dude's face, like, every other day. He was on TV with this dumb commercial. Like, I got a passion of hatred for Buster Posey because of that. Like, it's like, why? I still want to ask him if he ever listens, or anybody that connected to him. It was the second stolen base of that year, the last stolen base of that year. And I don't even know if he stole a base since that day, because I just want to know why you're stealing a stolen. Why are you stealing a base up 4 in the bottom of the eighth? Makes no sense ever.
I think we're going to be heads up on this one as I let you go, though. I am bullish. I'm going Jets over 6 wins. I don't care. I think Adam Gase being out of there is worth at least 3 or 4 wins. At least. That guy couldn't even fucking tank right, dude. He had one job, get Trevor Lawrence, and they couldn't do it. He sucked. And getting him out of there and that loser Sam Darnold, I think the way they've drafted on the O-line, they got speed, they got skill, and they have a quarterback that can hit an open target now, and I think he actually cares about winning, Zach Wilson. I'm over 6. I'm shorting the Dolphins. Patriots win 9 or 10. Bills probably win 12. There's some ground to be made up for the Jets. I'm going over 6.
I don't know if I can buy that, man. I agree with everything you said about Adam Gase. I agree with, you know, they've done a couple things right. You know, with this kid, Zach, he had one nice throw in like shorts, and everybody's like, he's the next best thing. Like, I don't buy that, man. I don't know. I just, knowing the Jets, knowing the organization, I think Zach is going to be bad. You know, just based on probability, like they get drafts wrong. They get players wrong. I don't think he's going to, we haven't had a quarterback. I couldn't even tell you the last time I had a confident quarterback, you know, behind center for the Jets. So
Pennington,
I don't know, man. I can't validate 6 wins. I can't even see more than 5, but I got to, you know, hone in on the schedule a little bit more. Look, I have no confidence in the Jets. I really don't. It's tough for me to even have confidence in the Mets. The only reason I have some confidence in the Mets this year is because of ownership. Ownership finally changed. And I know when it comes down to the trade deadline, this dude wants to make a splash, and he's going to spend whatever he's going to spend to make these maneuvers, to make sure that this team is in contention for a World Series and a deep playoff run. And Cohen's going to do that. Finally, the Wilpons are out. And ownership means so much, and I think the Jets don't have it yet. They don't have ownership. You know, the move to even bring in Gase is just crazy to me. Like, how do you bring in a loser from your division? At least get a winner from you. If you want to bring Belichick over, go ahead. But a loser, a consistent loser from your division, it's like the most asinine move I've ever seen in professional sports.
You can check out Jason Mizrahi's work, WinDailySports.com, at WinDailySports, and hear his show on Sirius XM Fantasy. Follow at Jason Mizrahi. Is the new app done yet or what? I've been waiting.
You've been waiting. I've been waiting. I hate technology. I wish technology can move as fast as me and you move on betting lines. It's coming out soon. It's going to be called the Sharp app. We have a beta. If you want a link, if you want to check it out, you, Sam, can come check it out anytime. It's going to be amazing, man. We're going to be producing a ton of great content. We have tools for props. We have tools to measure EV on any bet. Education, huge. And giving out winners, man. We have guys on the team that don't have a job. This is what they do for a living, and we want to help other people win.
Good stuff, Jay. Keep fighting the good fight. Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate you, Sam. Have a good night.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Jason Mizrahi for coming on the show. The man has a mind for fantasy, and he's up early. He's up 6, 7 in the morning, checking out the box scores, looking ahead to the night, and then he is in the trenches from about 4 until 8 or 9 o'clock on the East Coast on a regular NBA regular season night, also doing a lot of baseball as well. And I think there's a lot of stuff in that interview that can help you when it comes to the information and the strategy. You have to have a plan. That guy's won hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's not just winging it. He's not throwing darts. There's strategy there. There's a purpose to the picks and the lineups. Record check, 146, 141, and 5, down 3.7. But we are feeling good. We have the Canadians to win the series, 4-1. We have the Canadians to win Game 6 tonight, plus 125. So if they finish the deal and they eliminate the Vegas Golden Knights, we're right back where we need to be, and that's a great thing. Stanley Cup Final will start sometime next week, and we will talk to our guy Alex Smith on the Tuesday episode. Remember, he took us on a heater in the Stanley Cup Final last year with the first period overs. We'll talk to Alex all things Stanley Cup Final coming up on Tuesday's episode. Cash some tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next week right here on Chicken Dinner.